Perek Lamed Aleph Pasachov. Again, Perek Lamed Aleph Pasachov. L'chein Difa Koyam Hashem Elokim. Koyam Hashem Elokim Alehem. Hineni Ani V'Shafatati Bein Seh V'Riya U'Bein Seh Raza. Okay, so we have a lot of verbas, a lot of repetition. We're going to go very quickly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am the shepherd. Hashem says, I am the shepherd, and you are my sheep. And therefore, I'm going to judge between. I'm going to shepherd my sheep, and I'm going to judge. Part of being a good shepherd is to judge between the aggressive, abusive sheep and the victims, those that have been victimized by those sheep. So here, the sevriya means the fat ones, the bullies. So in serozerozer means the lean. Okay, pasuk chaf aleph yam yikuz b'tzad uvchosef tedofu, with your side and your shoulder you push. Okay, so the bully pushes with his tzad, side of his body and his shoulder. Uvikar nechem tinaku, and with your horns you gore. Kol hanachlois, nachlois means those that are in pain, the sick, feeble sheep that are in pain. Ad asher hafitzay sem osana elachutz, until the feeble sheep have been pushed to the outside. Okay, they've been pushed all the way to the outside. So Hashem says, I'm going to come and defend. Hashem is the great defender, the one who comes to seek out the welfare of those that have been abused and those that have been hurt. Pasuk Chaf in the Mitzvot David. Hashem says, Hinni bar hinni ani return laymar hine ani hu hamoshal al kulam. Hashem says, I am the ruler. The Eshbait, I'm going to judge between Sevriel Hamazekes L'Rozam. I'm going to be the one that's going to judge between the Sed that causes harm, the Bria, to Hamazekes. The Bria here means the one that's caused harm, L'Rozam, to the lean. I'm going to take note of the sheep that are abusive in this, that they push, they shove. They shove the weaker ones with their tzad and with their shoulders. Atem Hashmeinim Ra'an Mitzudos Atem Hashmeinim. You shove with your side and your shoulder, and you gore with your horn as the weak, feeble sheep, until they've been dispersed, to run away, far away, outside. Okay, pasuk. Let's see. Rashi, these two pasukim say pasuk chaf. Rashi writes, sevriya chazaka raza. That's a French word.
Maigre, which in English
you would say meager. Meager, okay.
Lean.
Lean. Therefore, Briya, Kamo Briya, Uperushu, Uperusho, Shmena Fat, Hamashal, Kitagumoi, Ben Gvar Atir, Uben Gvar Miskem, between a person who's wealthy and the poor. So the Radak is learning the Targum is not like Rashi and the Mitsudos that describe this as the strong and the weak, but rather the rich and the poor. The rich abuse the poor. It's all, obviously, it's all the same. Pasik chafalif in the Radak, Yan Targum Yilisan Chalaf Dibirsha, because in exchange for the wickedness, Uvidra, the Chatkun and the evil, the wickedness and the evil, the Chatkun, which means, I'm not even sure what this means. This means that you are, I think it means some of they're abusive. I don't know what that word means, the Chatkun. We'll leave it with that. Next pas. Pasik Abbas, Vashati Litzon Yashem, I'm going to save my sheep. I will save my sheep. Velosiet v'siena o lavaz. Will no longer be plundered. V'shafatiti. I will judge bein sel l'sel. I'll be the judge between the sel. Pasuk gimel v'akimosi aleihem roye echad. And now Hashem, I'm going to appoint upon them one shepherd. V'ro'o eshen. And this one shepherd will shepherd them. Will graze them. Ace, who is this person? Ace avdi David. David's going to be the shepherd. So we discussed this yesterday, that there appears to be a contradiction. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these previous psukim indicated that Hashem, He is the shepherd. And then it says, ultimately, I'm going to appoint a human being to be the shepherd. Who is this human being? Avdi David. But David's not alive anymore at this point in time. So what does this mean? Does this mean that it means a descendant of David? Or does this mean, Techiyas HaMesim, David himself will come back and serve? Another curious point is, why is David here spelled with a yud? Why is Malei David? David with a yud, that indicates that there's going to be the shlemus. Until this point in time, David is choser. David is lacking. But at this point in time, David is going to be restored to his full state with the name with the yud. Hu yire oisam, he will shepherd them. Hu yire lochem leroyeh, he will be their shepherd. But let's do these two psukim together. Chabez and Chabez and the Mitzudos. Pachabei says, Vashati Ilatsani Ani Oshi Asani, Velosiena Ulochem Levizod, no longer going to be plundered. The Eshbai Ben Secha Zaka Ben Secha Lusha will judge between the strong and the weak. The next pasuk is. The next pasuk Hakimayusi pasuk of Gimel, Anid Aleihem Vayachal. I will establish one shepherd who Yira Esen beMishpat Haroi V'Es Avdi David Hakim V'Hu Melech HaMashiach. So the Mitzudos learns David here is not to be taken literally. It refers to Melech HaMashiach V'Haba Mizera David. He is a descendant. Who Yira Esen V'Hu Yelochem L'Royeh Kafal Levin B'Rabbas Pamim L'Mashu Levadi HaMoshav HaShalit Aleihem. He alone will be the ruler. That was yesterday's daf. Okay, I start learning the daf again. Dabor echad lador ve'ein shnei daborim lador. Between the steer between what Hashem said to Moshe told Yehoshua, you're not going to be making the decisions alone. You're going to make every decision together with the zikanim. You're going to take a vote. It's going to be a presidium. No, don't have total authority. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And Hashem said to Yehoshua, no tavi, I disagree with Moshe. Yehoshua, you will have the ultimate authority. Dabor echad lador ve'ein shnei daborin lador. One leader for a generation. You can't have more than two leaders. You can't have more than one person make the decisions. Therefore, over here, this pasuk here, that's exactly what this pasuk over here says, that David's going to be the only one that's going to make the decisions. Okay, now let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi says...
Okay, I'm a little bit confused. If it's a reference to the future, and the Melech HaMashiach, then who are the bad sheep? Then the bad sheep have to be the Umos HaOlam.
No, not necessarily.
If it's a long term... If the answer is in the long term, then who is pushing us around? Not ourselves, but the Umos HaOlam. And yet, it looks as if we're talking about within our own flock.
That's the Pashlus, yes.
But it's, again, how is a long-term solution to a problem of oppression from oppressors from within? It seems not to fit.
There are two issues. There are oppressors from without and there are oppressors from within.
Right.
This section, clearly, at least from my understanding, we're dealing with the within.
How is a way long-term solution?
What do you mean long-term solution? What do you mean long-term solution? Yes, so Melech HaMashiach, his role will be, number one, to settle all the problems amongst us, all the various factions.
That's a new idea.
Why is that a new idea? In fact, that's probably the more common idea.
Because the primary purpose of Mashiach is...
An Orlamim.
Is to redeem us from Golos.
The biggest Golos is amongst ourselves.
That's a drash. That's not really...
This pasuk, I hear what you're saying, I agree with you, that Melech HaMashiach's role is to redeem us from the Umos HaOlam, to punish the Umos HaOlam, and to put them in their place and to inspire them to serve Hashem in their unique way. That is absolutely true. But the Melech HaMashiach also has a role to maximize our own potential and to settle all the disputes among us and to eliminate all of the abusive leaders amongst us.
Okay, so that could be accomplished with a proper leader in the short term.
That's why it says David with a yud.
That's also true.
Work on the yid.
The yidin.
I'm not sure that works universally.
There's a long term and there's a short term. All I can say is, in this section, we're dealing with the sheep. The sheep here, it's very clear, the sheep is Vaten Tsoini. Hashem says, you, my people,
right.
You are
right.
My sheep.
Right.
And in my sheep, there are different types of sheep. There is a Sebria and a Pserazo.
I think the answer, according to that interpretation, doesn't fit. It doesn't fit as a solution. You have to wait until the ultimate end.
Well, that will be the perfect solution. In the meantime, there's what to learn from this, that we don't want corruption amongst us until Mashiach comes. That's obvious. But the ultimate tikkun amongst us will only happen when we have a Melech HaMashiach.
But the Golus was...
That's another issue.
Part of the reason for Golus was attributed to bad leadership, right? The punishment came as partly because of bad leadership.
Absolutely. So
the solution is to provide good leadership.
Well, that's obvious. But even with the good leadership, the ultimate...
I just end up repeating myself, but that could be accomplished in the years, is what I'm trying to say.
And why hasn't it been accomplished yet?
Because of who we are, that's why.
So, and maybe that's what the Pasuk is saying, is that we need the Melech HaMashiach. There is maybe no short-term solution. There's always been corrupt leaders who have their own agenda and taking advantage of the Jewish people, using their power to take advantage. And the only way that will come to a total, complete end will be with the coming of Mashiach with David. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I agree with you 100%. But the simple understanding of these psukim, it's very clear. The aten tzayni, the sheep here is exclusively the Jewish people, and amongst the Jewish people, there are different factions which don't get along. There are some factions abuse other factions, and we need a shepherd who knows how to deal with the situation. And who will be that shepherd? David HaMelech. It's true, David HaMelech has other roles. He has another day job to go and take care of the Umos HaOlam, but one of his primary roles is to see to it that amongst the Jewish people there is no abuse, there is no aggression, there is no one is taking advantage, oppression, aggression, all these nice terms. No one, everything is v'al mikoymo yovohu b'shalom. Everyone is at peace with their fellow man. I mean, that's really that's what it says here. I mean, you can't deny that's the Pshut Shel Mikra. Okay, let's see now.
Is Hashem going to close up before David comes in?
So that was what we discussed yesterday. The psukim leading up until this pasuk, Hashem makes it very clear: I am your shepherd. And then at the very end, we have this shocking pasuk that says, "I'm going to appoint a shepherd." Who v'hakimosi alehem roye echod v'ro'oi. So we just read Eis Avi David. Gesundheit. This is a contradiction to what we learned before. Before it says, v'ateinu tzayni, koyam Hashem. I'm the one that's going to judge. And all these psukim indicate that Hashem is going to be the one. Ani, look at Pasuk Tezvav. Ani ere tzayni. V'ani arbitzein l'um Hashem alokim. Hashem says, "Pasuk Gidal, b'miratoyv ere oisam." It's clear as day. Hashem is, "I am your shepherd." So we have here a very big problem. We discussed this yesterday. Until Pasuk Chaf Yudches, Hashem says, Hashem is making an assessment of Klal Yisrael. He's taking inventory, and he takes note that there is major problems. There is major problems amongst Klal Yisrael where people are taking advantage and abusing their fellow Jews, especially the leaders. They're using their power to their own advantage. Hashem's, "I'm going to get rid of these leaders, and I'm going to take over, and I'm going to exercise justice, and everyone's going to be at peace with each other. I'm going to be the paradigm, the perfect shepherd." And then Pasuk Yitcha shocks us, where it says, "You know what? I'm going to retire, and I'm going to give over my role to David HaMelech." What do you mean? We have the best shepherd. Why would we want Hashem to retire and transfer the reins of leadership to David, to a human being? So something doesn't make sense. So you want to say first Hashem's going to clean it. You want someone to say, yes, Hashem has to clean it up. That then, or before you can go and you can bring in a private leader, the government has to first step. And that's possible, the process, this corruption. So the government first temporarily takes over. Okay, like you have what's called martial law. Right, the situation is chaos. There's chaos, so the government has to temporarily take over the streets, impose curfew, and take over all the banks and government and restore order. And then we can once again give the power back to the people.
So that, right. Whereas Maharal said, you have to create a new order.
A new order. So maybe that's what it means. That's a very deep idea. That's a very deep concept. Like Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to first put an end to all of the corruption himself, establish a new order, and then once again ease us into giving power back to man by through David HaMelech. That's seemingly what it says. That's the order. Now, why should that be the order when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Maybe if we're it's a religious state, Adarabah, the ideal thing would be to be under the authority of God, of Hashem. It's not a separation of church and state where it's a secular government No, you see over here this idea that Hashem, He wants in His world that the purpose of giving Hashemayim, Shemayim LaHashem, V'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam, Hashem has pleasure when we lead ourselves, instead of we being 100% dependent on Him. That's the nachas, is that Hashem, we can behave in a way that is true to Hashem's will, bidei Adam. Yeah?
Maybe that's the parallel with it's right. First, Hashem himself liberates us, and then He commands us to
appoint leaders.
Israel and appoint a king.
Similar idea. In the 40 years in the Midbar, we were under Hashem's Lamala Miderech HaTeva. And then the Mon, and then Yaakovod, and then we come into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem is saying, now you try. Can you try it now? See how it goes by you. If you can go and you can take over. So let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasik Chav Beis says, Avdi David Melech Mizaro. Rashi is the same as the Mitzvot. He says, do not take this Pasuk literally. We're not dealing with Techiyas HaMeis. We're dealing with a descendant of David. Interesting, today, how do we know who's a descendant of David? How do we know? Who can today say that is there such a person today that can trace their Yichus to David HaMelech?
There were a few people who could.
They could, really?
Well,
I haven't heard about this.
Rebbe claimed to have a descendant.
The Lubavitch Rebbe claimed to have a Yichus, a Shtar Yichus going back to David HaMelech?
They had that tradition. Maral had such a tradition.
Okay, that's a Chiddush to me. I never heard such a thing before. But he can Mamash trace it back. He has a Shtar Yichus. I would assume with technology, they'll be able to do it one day.
DNA.
Okay, DNA, it's still evolving.
Great. Where do you get David HaMelech's DNA?
Well, when you take everyone together, then certain patterns emerge, and you're able to see things and figure out things that you otherwise could not do. So that's all part of the technology. When you put everyone into the pool, and you're able to go and filter everyone according to their genes, you can supposedly the technology will advance to a point in time where you can just take a blood sample from a person and you can show him where you fit in world
you can group them, but you have to have something to compare with.
Yeah, so when you have the entire Klal Yisrael in a database.
That will
be part of the technology. It will work. Part of the technology is getting so sophisticated where they can do these things. I mean, we're living in very exciting times. Like, look what they're putting now on the Harabais. It's unbelievable. Facial recognition. Okay, it's unbelievable. You see by the technology they have in Eretz Yisrael, the facial recognition, you can scan 200,000 people in 1 hour. As they all walk in, as long as their face is not covered with sunglasses or a mask, okay, you can right away identify a potential terrorist. Someone who's on a terrorist watch list. No mail detector, you don't need mail detector. This is like racial profiling. We know what you're all about. We have records, we have your Facebook page, we know what you're all about. And if you're coming to the Harabayis, so you are a suspect. They took down the mail detectors and they replaced it with facial recognition software. Very, very advanced. Not the thing you buy in the store. You can go they have now your smartphone. They have new technology where they used to have the thumb, right? Now they have better. The new smartphones, they just look at you. Just turn it on, it just looks at you. The camera looks at you. You can right away tell if it's you, if it's not you. So you don't have to press any buttons. So they have this, they tried this by the Super Bowl. Every year by the Super Bowl, that is the big event for the CIA, NSA. They look forward to the Super Bowl much more than anyone in this room does, okay? They're not sitting and eating pizza and hot dogs or whatever you eat over in Super Bowl. They're sitting there by their computers. It's the big, big event for the NSA. It's the event where you have, how many people come there? 100,000 people? 100,000 people come to a football field, how many fill up a football field? Less 90,000 people?
Yeah.
80,000 people? 80,000 people in the average. So they all come in with asachas, and they have cameras located every opening, and they use it as a test run to test out the latest technology technologies, which include facial recognition. And the latest thing, I told you, this gewaltig is, you know, because facial recognition is problematic because you wear a cap or sunglasses, you can disguise, or you even wear a mask, okay, put on a face mask, like Mission Impossible, right? You put on a face mask. So they have better technology where they can see your walk, your gait.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Every person in the world walks differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's unreal. Like, Chazal knew this. This Shchita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. What's the Halacha? Every kohen has a unique Halacha. The way he walks to the Mizbeach. So the technology can scan the way you walk for 2 seconds. It can right away figure out who you are. Who you are. So if they can do that, I'm sure very soon they'll be able with DNA to figure out who is a kohen, who is a Mizera David, who's not. They can give you a whole tree, a whole family tree, just with a little blood test or a saliva. Who knows? Something probably in a very short time they'll be able to do that. In any event, it says here Mizera Melach Mizaroi Chafhei V'yashnu by Pasuk Chafhei. Let's further. Let's see. Radak Chafbeis and Chaf Gimel. Radak in Pasuk Chafbeis says V'yashati Mavorhu is self understood. Chaf Gimel V'akimosi Eis David Avdi Hamashiach Sheyamod Mizaro Be'Eis HaYeshua. It will come from his seed, the time of salvation. All right, let's now go to Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Va'ani Hashem Ehye Lohem Leloikim. So you see the shift? Until this point in time, Hashem was a shepherd. Now, when Hashem retires, and Hashem appoints David as the shepherd, Hashem gets a new job. He becomes the president emeritus. He becomes the chancellor. Okay, like when you have to invent a new title when a celebrity retires. They just go higher and higher. So Hashem says, I'm retiring when I give over the reins of being a shepherd to David. I'm getting a new job with a higher salary. I'm becoming a god. I'm becoming now someone that you have even more awe from. Vani Hashem Eye Elohim Lelokim. V'avi David Nasi B'Sacham. And David also is going to get an upgrade. David was only a shepherd. And now all of a sudden we have another shift. David becomes a Nasi V'Sacham. The novice knows that here David is filled with Ari Yud. What happened to the Yud? Very mysterious. Ani Hashem Dibarti, I am Hashem, I have spoken. A lot of very mysterious psukim. Notice also it says here, Ani Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's Midas HaRachamim. I will be for them Elokim Midas HaDin. So what does that mean exactly? Hashem, I who in essence is Rachamim, I'm going to be at this point for them Midas HaDin. And David is a Nasi from a shepherd too. It says, Hu Yir, in the previous pasuk, Hu Yir Oisan. And here it says he's a Nasi. But becoming a Nasi, it seems, has a price to pay. Price to pay is you lose your Yud, you lose your shine, your fullness, the scrutiny. When you're a shepherd, then everyone loves you because you're a harmless person. What are you going to do already to a person? You're a Sholem. Everyone loves you. When you become a Nasi, everyone has complaints. Why is there so much traffic? So then when you're a Nasi, David is losing his Yud. The little Yud disappears. He's no longer Sholem. There's something that's lacking here. Let's see Pasuk, these two Pasukim in the Mesillas Pasuk of Gimel says.
Is that really consistent when there's a Yud?
I don't know. I just made it up.
When you look at Vayivarech David es.
There it says, David, there's a Yud, that Pasuk.
Yes, so does that?
That's from Divrei Hayamim. That's from Divrei Hayamim. So I don't know the answer.
What does that mean?
The Mefarshim discussed this. How many times in Tanakh they say Molech Chaser? It's very, very rare. It's very Pinchas, it's very, very rare to have David spelled with a Yud. And Chazal, David we mentioned last week, is the most popular name in Tanakh. His name appeared, 846 times, I think? 846 times is the name David mentioned in Tanakh. Moshe is only 640-something. Even Moshe is not as popular as David. So he's very popular, David, and yet the vast majority, like 99% of the time, it's without a Yud. And here, and in Divrei Hayamim, it is spelled with a Yud. Okay, in any event, let's see these subsukim in the Mefarsh Pasik, Chav, Dalm, Chav, Pasik, Pasik, what do we read over here? Pasik Chav Dalit, one Pasik, Chav Dalit. Chavdal in the Mitzvah says, "Ani Hashem eyelohem lelukim yikablu aleim malchus shemayim b'malchus Hashem tiskala ad sheyelohem lelukim." So, I'm reading the wrong thing entirely. I'm sorry. Mitzvah pasuk Chavdal lelukim lo shila hatzil. I will be a God to save. Rashi Mitzvah learns the purpose of being a lelukim is I'm going to be a savior. I'm going to rescue the world. My people. David will take care of pasturing my people, so I can be free in order to solve all the world's problems. V'yavdi David, hu melech ha-mashiach ha-ba mizaro, ani Hashem dibarti, imkein bevadei keniyeh. This will certainly, ashom aleichem, and welcome back. This will certainly come to be, make no doubt about it. Okay, let's see Rashi, pasuk chav dalid, v'ani ha, there is no Rashi, radak chav dalid, v'ani Hashem, v'ruhu. Next, pasuk chav hei. V'chorati lochem bris, shalom. It sounds like davening a little bit. I will then forge a new treaty of peace. I'm going to cause the wild animals to cease from the earth. And they'll dwell in the desert in security. Why in the Midbar? Why would we want to dwell in the desert? Okay, v'yashuvu v'amidbar levetach, with security.
The wilderness instead of desert.
The wilderness?
No, can't you translate
this? But when do we call? And they're telling you, Moshe Mashiach, we're living in Yerushalayim. We're living in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is not the Midbar. The Midbar was the 40 years.
Maybe they're talking about the Chayas.
No, it doesn't seem like that. It says the Chayas are going to cease. V'shpati Chayaram in Eretz, V'yashuv Midbar Levetach. You will live in the desert with security. The Yashnu Bayarim, and you will sleep in the forests. Okay, the Yashnu Bayarim. Let's see the Mitzudos, Pasuk Chav Hei.
You need to look more at the proportion.
Okay, let's see Pasuk Chav Hei in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Chav Hei in the Mitzudos says, V'charati Oz Echrasi Wem Bris Shalom Lios Masmidim Lasheves B'Shalva, I will forge a new bris, you will live in smooth with peace. Tranquility, Vishvati, return to Lemar, Chayas Asode, Lo Yaziko, Samech Moshe Nemar, Lo Yareu, Lo Yashkisu. This one says in Yeshaya that the wild animals do not cause you harm. That refers to the Umo Soilam, they're not going to cause us harm. The Yashuv Amidbar, Oz, Be'af, Oz. So he learns the Mitzudos, it means even. That's a stretch. That at this point in time, when Mashiach comes, of course you're going to live in Eretz Yisrael, but you'll also be able to spread out to the desert, Af Bamidbarois. Uvaya Armin in the forest, Mikoim Chachayosh Yeshu Betach, you'll live there in security as well. Why would you want to do that? I don't know, that's what it says. The Yashnu, Shama, the Arvilham Shinasim, you'll go to sleep. You'll have a pleasant, why would you want to sleep? It's so exciting to live in the time of Mashiach. Who could sleep? It says during the Shivas, the Simcha space Hashoeva, it says in the Mishnah, they didn't sleep. They didn't sleep for 8 days. 8 days, all 8 days of Sukkot, who had time to sleep? Everyone was busy, it was a celebration. So you can't say it didn't sleep mamish, because obviously you have to sleep at least a half an hour, whatever it means. But the regular 8 hours of sleep that you wish you had every night, that wasn't an issue during the Simchas Beis Hashem. So here it's Yimos HaMashiach, the whole world is a whole new world of has been transformed. Yet it says in the Mitzudos, in the Pasuk, V'yashu Shama, V'arva Lohem Shinosam, Ki Lo Yachridim, because they're not going to be afraid, they're nothing to worry about, you get a good night's rest. It's a very, very difficult psukim to really understand. But obviously, they're very symbolic. What these things mean and what they mean is way beyond my understanding.
Can I?
Yes?
Question that was asked, whether the chayos will still be around or not.
Yeah.
Apparently it's a machlokas, according to this. Some maintain that the wild beasts will indeed become herbivorous creatures who will not eat flesh of any kind as they were in the beginning of creation. In other words, they're still around, but they're harmless. Their instinct is to prey, P-R-E-Y, commenced only when Eve sinned by eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge and giving it to Adam and all the world's creatures. In the Messianic era, the world will return to its pristine state, and this instinct will be completely eradicated.
Okay, so it doesn't mean literally they will cease.
Right.
It means they will be transformed. They will behave
right.
themselves.
But that's it's a machlok.
And some say they will cease to exist. What happened to the dinosaurs? Where do they go? So why can't we have the dinosaurs that will behave themselves? It'll be a good Cholamoy trip to go to visit the dinosaur land, and you can get a nice ride.
Jurassic Park,
right. What do you have to have them disappear? We can have them just be tamed and behave themselves. Very good. Okay, I don't know the answer. Okay, Rashi to some degree tries to answer my question about going to sleep. Rashi says, V'yashnu b'yardim, Tirgim Yonasan v'yis atkun. You will grow old. In other words, sleep means
aging.
It's a metaphor for
aging.
You'll age in a state b'churshaya in the forest, which means I don't know why would you want to grow old in the forest. What?
Tranquility.
You'll be able the yesh l'pasha b'losh and shena. Some want to say it means to sleep literally. Okay. Okay. So we have two interpretations. No, that's betach. That it says explicitly.
It's part of that, though. You can, you don't have to worry about all these dangers, whether it's a danger of the umos.
You'll be able to sleep. You don't have to get.
Everybody can live securely and grow to old age.
Okay, so that's the machlokes in Rashi. Two interpretations. Either it means to grow old, or it means literally to sleep. As you said, that has a connotation of security. Betach. Radak, Pasik Chav Hei, V'charati V'yoshnu V'ya'arim, V'l'ki lo yivchasu M'chayim M'chayim Sayar, you're not going to be afraid of Yoshnu, and in Shena, it means sleep, and then he quotes the Targum, which means, in my edition, he quotes the Targum, which means you're going to grow old. Pasik Chavav, okay, this goes back to the Bracha, it's the ultimate Bracha before the Teichecha, V'nasati Oysam, U'svivos, I will give to them, U'svivos, give us, see Biracha. Not only will I give to the Jewish people, I'll give to their neighbors. Givasi means to the people. The givasi means to look at the mitzudos. It's a very hard word to translate. Gavoa, most Lord Gavoa, who eretz Yisrael haGavoa mikol haRotzos. I will give to them usvivos givasi, those that surround the eretz Yisrael. It's a great word term here to add to your collection of all the various terms that are used in Tanakh to describe Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, Tzion Yerushalayim, there's so many, the Har, the Mountain, the Sadeh, there's so many expressions, I can't remember even any of them, but here we have a new one, Givasi. Usvivos Givasi, those that surrounds Givasi. Givasi is a term used to describe Eretz Yisrael, it is Gavoa Mikol HaRotzos, I will give to the land and those that surround and in the areas, the suburbs that surround Eretz Yisrael, biracha, blessing, and it concludes here. V'harati hageshem
bi'ito. Givati comes
from. Givati, what's Givati?
Givati is a hill.
Giva is a, right,
no,
a hill.
One of the in Tzahal.
Brigades.
Givati brigades.
Maybe just what it means is the exalted.
Moshe, which is ammunition hill.
Maybe it just means the exalted hill. Maybe it does. I don't know. You have a word here. This is unique. It's kedai today to come just to learn this. That Eretz Yisrael is called Give Asi. Hashem describes it with a new term called Give Asi. Bracha. And then it says here concludes V'hodati Yageshem Bi'ito. That's the bra. That's where does that come from? That comes from the beginning before the Teichecha. Nasati Gishmechem Bi'itom. What does Rashi there say? The best time for rain is Friday night. Why Friday night? Because no one's out in the streets. No one's working.
After the Shalom Zachar.
After Shalom Zachar. But you should know that I remember when we learned Chumash, there's another Girsa in Rashi. There's another Girsa. That Girsa, Friday night, is not the only interpretation. Maybe you see the Girsa is another opinion. I think it's, let's say, one day during the week. During this one night during the week, and the question is, why would it be considered Gishmi a bracha if it rains specifically during one of the nights of the week, whatever the night is? I don't know, but it simply means in the right time. Virati Hageshem bi'ito, Gishmi v'racha, it will be a rain of blessing. Let's see what this very interesting pasuk means. These two psukim. We did chafei. Yes, we did. Pasuk chavav in the mitzudos David says, "V'nasati asam etin asam b'mekaymam. I'll put them in their place. L'chol sivos givasi etin bracha be'ito b'zvan sheish tzarech bo. When you need the rain. If you don't need the rain, then it's not a blessing. Gishme bracha yuki ma'od yiravu tzimas aretz. The dryness of the land will be satiated, saturated. The dryness of the land. All right, let's see. Tzia and snaf and nothing. Tzia is tzayon. What does it mean tzayon? Tzayon. The same letters that tzion is in arid, dry land, a land that's missing its liquid. And this time Hashem says, I'm going to bring rain. I'm going to satisfy the dryness of the land. Let's see Rashi. Barren, dry, arid. Rashi chavav v'nasati yeshol osam b'sivos givasite nisina sam bibracha. It will be a giving of blessing. V'nasati kamo v'hishkanti, I will dwell. Kehi, that's a very unusual expression. V'hishkanti, I will dwell. So over here on the side of my, you don't have this in your dish, I have a sifsei zekenim on Rashi. It's similar to the theme, to the approach of the sifsei chachomim, Rashi in Chumash. He writes, he's very disturbed. What is the meaning of the Hirashi Kamo Vishkanti? Vishkanti has absolutely nothing to do with the word Vinosati. So what is Rashi in this grammar lesson? That the word Vinosati is like Vishkanti? Cannot possibly mean that. So he basically says this, that Hashem, since the past does not say what Hashem will give, what is Hashem, what are you giving? So either it means I'm going to give you, going back on the word rain, I'm going to give you rain, or it means I'm going to give you of myself. I'm going to give you of myself. What's myself? My Shechina. I'm going to rest my presence upon this earth. Since Vinosati, it means I will give myself. I'll give myself over to the land by infusing the land with spirituality, the resting of my Shechina. Let's see the Radak. Pasuk Chavav. V'nasati osam u'sivos givasi bracha. Etin osam bracha al derech v'heye bracha. Okay, that's what it says in Bereishis. U'sivos givasi etin osam bracha. He eretz Yisrael kula. Givasi is Eretz Yisrael, like we said in the Mitzudos, Shehi Sivivois Beis HaMikdosh, Ki Beis HaMikdosh B'yem Seha Eretz Yisrael Hu, Beis HaMikdosh Nikra Har V'Giva Kamo Shekosov Nachon Yehar HaBayis Har Beis HaShem B'Rosh Shaharim V'Nisa Migvaos, will be lifted from the hills. So it appears that Radak disagrees with the Mitzudos. He learns Givasi means the Beis HaMikdash only. The Har Bais. The Temple Mount. Okay, the Temple Mount. That's Givasi. The hill. And Sivivois Givasi refers to Eretz Yisrael. According to the Mitzudos, Givasi refers to the whole Eretz Yisrael. In the Nela, when it says Sivivois Givasi, that refers to all of the neighboring lands. All of the surrounding lands, we're extending the perimeter to a much, much greater degree of where Hashem will bestow His blessing. Machlokes Rashi, Mitzudot Radak, and Rashi. V'yoynesam tirgem v'ashrei, I will rest. Yashoynes, I will rest around you. Sechor, sechor lebeis mikdashi. He learns like the Radak. Okay, the Targum is like the Radak. The word Givasi refers to the Temple Mount, the high mountain. V'hi mivarchin, you will be blessed. The Tirgim HaGeshem, Mitar Bakir, Geshem refers to the early rain. Mitar Bakir is a difference, there's the early rain, Yoyre u'Malkoish. Yoyre is the early rain, Malkoish is the late rain. So it says here, referring to the Geshem, is the early rain. Why the early rain? I don't know. But that's how we, there must be something very deep here, but that's what it says over here. Okay, okay, let now.
The first rain soaks in into the ground, and that he was saying, will go into the ground. The later rain runs off.
The later rain runs away, runs off. Okay, so it's already saturated. All right, whatever it means. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk, Chavzayin, V'nasan Eitz Asod Espirio. Okay, these are all the brachas that you find in Parashas Bichu Kosai. Before you lead into the Toichecha, V'nasan ha'etz ha'sod ha'espiryo, it'll give the fruit, the tree of the field will give its fruit, V'aretz titein yivulo, give its produce, V'hoyu al'admo samlo vetach, we repeat this theme again, you will live in security. Yodu keni Hashem b'shivri es motos ulam. I will break the rods of your yoke. Okay, that's what we had that theme before. The rods of your yoke. V'tzaltim miyad ho'evdim bohem. I will save you. Miyad ho'evdim bohem. Those people who you serve. The people to whom that you are subordinate, to whom you serve, you will be freed from their yoke, you'll be freed from their servitude, you'll be a free man. Okay, the Ol Malchus Shamayim, we had this before, the Motos Ulam, those two words are really redundant, because the oil is the moat. Remember we had this before, we had this a couple of talking back before, is that those words are interchangeable. And here yet, the two words are being used together. Because what is the yoke? The yoke is the moat. The yoke is the rod that goes upon the neck of the animal. As we mentioned before, I told you this before, should review this because it's a very deep idea, is every day we say, Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim. If you learn Masechta Kelim, there one of the utensils, which is Mekabel Tuma, is the oil, is the yoke. And there in the Rishonim, maybe Achronim, there Mefarshim on the page, there's a Machloikis. What exactly is the precise definition of the yoke? According to one opinion, it is the bar. There are two bars. There's a bar that's horizontal. I don't say horizontal. They're perpendicular. Can't wait to one. There's a bar that goes across. Let's say we have two animals. Let's say these two Sefarim are two oxen. Or it's even let's make it like it's one ox. Okay, I'll make it two oxen just for the sake of simplicity. Two oxen. So what's a yoke? A yoke really is two bars with a ring. There are three parts. There are three parts to a yoke. There's a bar that goes like this over the necks of the animal, and it's harnessed. It's connected, and then there's a perpendicular bar that goes from this bar out over here, which you connect to a plow, a wagon, to some type of tool that you want the oxen to pull. So there is the bar which goes over their neck horizontally, and then there is a bar which goes this way. Okay, you can't call it vertically, but it's perpendicular. And there is a ring, a very strong metal ring, which connects the bar that goes this way with the bar that goes this way. Which one of these bars is called the yoke? Umekabel oil malchus shamayim. Every single day when we recite Kriya Shema, which bar is the yoke? Is it the bar that goes over the neck, or the bar that goes this way? It's a machloikis rishonim. The Rash and the Rav. I think it's the Rash and the Rav. You look in the Mishnayis. It's machloikis. Some say it's the horizontal bar. And some say it's the vertical bar. Lamai nafkamina, what their role is. The bar that goes over the neck is a bar which harnesses, which makes us, it's making a statement to the oxen. You're mine. You're serving, you're here to serve me. You are here, the oxen get the sense, that's it, we're tracked. We have a job to do, we're not going nowhere. The other bar represents their purpose, not the fact that we're harnessed. We know we're harnessed. We have a role to serve. Our role to serve is to pull a wagon, to plow the field, to whatever our role is. We makabel ol malchus shamayim. What are you saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Are you saying Ribbono Shel Olam, we're yours? We're yours. We are under your authority. Or when you makabel ol malchus shamayim, what you're really saying is, we are here to accomplish our mission, our purpose of pulling the load, plowing the field. We're here for a purpose. It's a very big difference. Very big difference in what you're supposed to be mechavein when you makabel ol malchus shamayim. Are you here just to say, I'm here, I'm yours, I'm under your authority, or I'm here to accomplish your mission? You put me here in this world for a mission. I'm here, I'm ready to serve. I'm going to accomplish my mission. I'm ready to pull. I'm ready for that to be done. That's a very big machlokes. What is the oil? And then whatever is the oil is the oil. Whatever is not the oil is the moat. The moat is the other one. One is the oil, one is the moat. Is the moat the horizontal? And the oil is the the one that comes forward, perpendicular, or vice versa. These are two different words which are used sometimes interchangeably because they both are the essential components of the yoke, or we call the yoke, but you have two different words, and here, unique in this pasuk, it says both of them together, not in reference to Hashem, in reference to the umay sa'ilam, they harness us, and they abuse us, they use us for their purposes to accomplish their goals. And when Mashiach comes, when David comes, he's going to break this yoke. We're no longer going to be under their control and serve their purpose. We're going to serve Hashem's purpose. Okay, so b'shivri es motos ulam yitzaltim miyad hoivdim b'chem, I'm going to save you from those who make you serve. Let's see pasuk of Zayin. Chav Zayin in the Mitzudos David. Kiani Hashem Haneman b'mamaro motos ulam ma shechbidu aleim ha'umos, this are the nations they subjugate them. Vachas v'mashol min ashar shemesim Allah bate ha'ol l'acharei shu'adama, we use the metaphor of a yoke, which of an axe, which is put upon an animal in order to plow the earth. Rashi, there is none. Radak, pasuk of Zayin, the Rasan Mavo itself understood. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk of Ches, v'lo yeh od baz lagoyim. At this time in the future, we will no longer be plundered by the nations. The chayas haretz lo sochlem, will no longer eat up the Jewish people. The yashu lo vetach, v'in achrin, it's already the third time. The third time it says here, betach. Obviously, there are different types of security. There is financial security, there is physical security, there is political security, all different types of security we need to survive. And here, the fact that the pasuk repeats security multiple times obviously refers to a different dimension of security. Pasuk, so if you put them together, pasuk of Tes v'akimosi elchem mato l'shem, I will then establish them as a mato. Mato means a plant. A new theme. Hashem is going to be a plant that's going to grow and develop in the land. L'shem. L'shem means for reputation. We're going to become an exalted, a renowned nation. For lo yiyu od asufei rav ba'aretz, will no longer be asufei rav, the gathering of famine in the earth. We'll be no longer collectors. Can you imagine that? No longer will we get any appeals to raise money for poor people. You will no longer bear the shame of the nations, the insult of the nations. It's quite a collection of things over here that brachos to be zochet to, poverty should come to an end, and we should be like a plant which grows, will thrive, and not to be a subject to the insults and the harassment of the Umay Sa'ilam, like today is just off the charts of what the Goyim, what they think of us and what they do to us. Let's see what it is over here in these two Pesukim, Pasuk Chav Ches and Chav Ches together. The Mitzvah Zav, Chav Ches, the Chayas, Aritz, Ritzon Olema, Aritzei HaGoyim, the tyrants of the nations. So refers to the mazikos not going to pasture, not going to destroy. The word mata means a plant, a sapling that is yofa, that is beautiful. Vahadura, that is splendid. Lios l'shem will be a reputation. The nations of the world will look up to us as something of beauty. For lo yihyu ritzon lema lo yimotzu od baritz anoshim shabo aleim kilyon harav. There's not going to be people in the land are going to suffer the destruction of famine. For lo yisu lo yispelu od kilima min agum, no longer suffer shame from the nations. Kilo yitztarchu od lovu baaretzos agum kavur yahalechem lo seitz chepostim kederech haba. You're no longer going to have to come among the lands of the nations in order to get some bread. Like today, be'eretz nachriyah. Like today, unfortunately, the collectors, where are the vast majority of collectors from? Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Eretz. So I go to a kol after here sometimes, and there's a very wealthy person that sits there in the back. Very obviously wealthy. How do I know? Because every single day, when the seder is over, there's a line of people, from all different institutions coming to sit down. I want to go. You want to come there also? And they come, and they come, and he sits down with them. I don't know how much he gives them, but even if he gives everyone $1, even if he gives everyone $1, he must be very wealthy. They're not coming to me, these people. They're coming. He sits down with them. So where are these? They're all Israelis. They come out. I see. I look at them. They're all Israelis. And if this is what I see over here in a little teeny corner over here of the world, you can imagine what's going on all over America, all over. So it says that this will cease. I don't know what Elal's going to do. They're not going to have too many people.
They're going to rename themselves Kampen Sharon.
They're not going to have so many people coming to America to raise money, but that's the bracha. On the other hand, you have to remember the pasuk. I remember once hearing a drasha is that people are very critical of these collectors. So someone said, what do you want? It says in the Torah, lo yechdal evyon mikeref ha'aretz. You think you have a solution? You have a solution how to give everyone parnasa? It's a mitzias. Hashem said himself, it's always going to be poor people. That's the way the world is. Hashem made the world in such a fashion. It's a very, 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 very frightening thing.
But you can reduce the number a bit.
Try to reduce the number, exactly. Okay, you can reduce the number to a minimum. So there's over here that it says v'lo yi od. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we're going to retire the pasuk lo yechal evi mikarev haaretz? Is that what the pasuk here means? Or the pasuk just means that you say mechal, we're going to reduce the number. How do you translate this pasuk in reference to the pasuk of lo yechal evi mikarev haaretz? I don't know. Okay, let's do another pasuk yulam yodu ki ani Hashem elokeichem elokeihem itam. You'll then know that I am Hashem. I'm with you. Heim veheim ami beis Yisrael, and they are my nation, Um Hashem Elokim. Okay, let's see, do these three psukim together. Starting with Chav Ches. In the Mitzudos David, V'chay Asaretz, Ritzon Lomar, Aritza, we did that, so we did it. I'm sorry, Chav Tes and Lamed. Chav Tes and Lamed. Let's do it again. V'chay Asaretz, Ritzon Lomar, Aritza, Agoyim, Achachzom, Shabuchem, Oyema, Lachayetz, Hamazika, Shlo Yer, Od, V'lo Yashkitz, Chav Tes, Matal Shem, Litil, Shem, we did it, I'm sorry. V'lo yod return lomar lo yimatz obeiret anashim shabolem killing the world. V'lo yisu, we did this already. We did this. The mitzudos v'lo yisu lo yisu od kelima min agoyim kilo yitzdarch o lovei biar. We already did. That's what we focused on. Okay. Pasuk lamed v'yadu oz yedu shani imahem. They'll know that I am with them. V'heim ami ha hechaviv li. They're my nation. Now over here, the mitzvah says they are precious to me. Okay. Let's see these three psukim in Rashi. Chav ches, there is none. Chav tes. Mata l'shem. Mata means a sapling. He is kiyum sheyehei l'shem oilam. A mata means, has a connotation that it will be in existence. If you plant it, it's going to be in existence with a reputation, with renown forever. L'shem oilam. Asufei ra'av. What does that mean? Tumunei ra'av machmas boishes. So the word asufei, I told you means a collection. He says something different. He says it means death. Okay, I didn't translate it correctly. Death. Vayigva, vayosef elamof, to be gathered in to the grave, to the olam ha'emes. So then when it says over here, v'lo yiyu, I don't know if I said it's mistaken. Maybe there's another rishon achron that says what I said, but here it says asuf. Yeah.
What is it? There's among the various
yuchsim,
there's a sufi.
Right? A sufi. A sufi means a person that has no, we don't know who his mother or his father is. He's gathered into the home.
Or hidden, apparently.
A sufi means we take him in from off the street.
Yeah.
Someone puts him at the fire department.
Yeah.
Fire department, so you take him in. A sufi. We do not know who his mother, who his father. That's in the, and that's a living creature. But a sufi normally means death. Vayigva vaye or safe. So here, asufei rav means people who have died, who have perished from starvation. That's the simple translation of the pasuk. I told you it means a gathering of people who are rav. Of people, rav means famine, who are dying from famine. Let's see. Rashi says asufei tumune rav. What does it mean tumune? Tamun. It means hidden. They're gathered in. They're gathered into the house. They don't appear in public. They don't appear in public because they are impoverished.
Tumuni could be buried also.
Buried tumuni, they're buried from Rav, I find. Machmas boshes, but it's here it seems to say they're alive.
That's,
they're ashamed.
That's how we translate it.
So tamune, they're tamun, they're hidden away. They're hidden away from society because of the embarrassment of ra'avoin, the ani, of poverty, and that's why they have to hide themselves from society. Radak pasik chavches says lo yir v'chayis aretz lo sechlin moshal k'tagumo. This is the malchavos aro lo yishet sun, and the malchus of the land will not be destroyed. Okay, the animals will not devour the Jewish people. V'hakimosi lachem atol k'mosh nema unitatim alad masam l'shem sheitzei shema magoyim of a reputation. V'nus entegim l'kayama l'shem means they will exist. They will survive. They will have kiyum. They will, sorry.
They will be famous.
That's the other interpretation. That's not what the Targum says. According to the Radak, it means sheyetzei shemam bagoyim, renown. But the Targum says she means they will exist. The goyim, they always keep on saying, right? All the Iran, oh, the state of Israel, its days are numbered. It's not going to be around much longer. And this, that, you always hear this in the news, right? All these crazy statements. Hashem says, I know better. It's going to be l'shem, l'kiyum. You are the ones that will cease to exist. The Jewish people will always exist. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Next words, asufei ra'ah ba'aretz, inyin kilayon, it means kilayon, destruction, kamo, asuf asifeihem l'um Hashem. The opening words of the Haftarah on Tisha B'Av, asuf, the double expression, it means death, utter death. V'yodas amterge mitaltalei kafna, it means people famine, people who kikishahoya rob oretz Yisrael hoyu metamistatlim b'mitzrayim u'b'sharotzes v'hoyu noisim sham kilimas hagoyim. When there is famine, people leave. They make yirida, and then when they go to the nations, they say, "What are you doing here? I thought you have a God. Why doesn't He provide food for you in your own land? Why do you have to come over here?" So it's a chilul Hashem. Whenever the Jews go into Golis, that is the ultimate chilul Hashem. Like it says, Gerus ba'avoyis k'shachlam mitzrayim v'aretz l'aretz plishim v'nemar b'avimelech l'agur b'aretz b'stei moyav v'nemar b'shunamis v'atogar b'aretz plishim. So the word, this word over here basically means they're going to go into exile. So you no longer will you have to suffer that. Okay, lam v'yadum v'vur itself understood. Okay, pasuk lamed aleph, pasuk lamed winding down the perek. V'atein tsayni, you are my sheep. We had this before. Where do we have this before? Do we have it before? Pasuk Yitzayin. See, Pasuk Yitzayin, we're going to come out the same exact thing. V'atein tsayni, v'atein tsayni tson mari si. Adam atem, ani, are you a man? Ani Elokeichem, I am your God, Nu'um Hashem Elokim. Okay, so look what's happening over here. This Pasuk Lamed Aleph is summarizing both the questions that we asked. We started off, Hashem says there's corruption. I'm going to step in and put an end to the corruption. I'm going to take over as being your shepherd. Right? Isn't that what we learned? We went through all those psukim. And then we learn today, and after, and then we have a contradiction. Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to appoint for you a shepherd. Who? David Avdi, with the Yud. David Avdi. He's going to become the shepherd. And what about me? I'm going to retire. I'm not retiring. I'm getting a better job. I'm going to be upgraded to Elohim. I'm not alone, no Hashem. I'm no longer going to be a shepherd. I'm going to be your God. And now, in this pasuk, Hashem is summarizing, once you're a shepherd, you're always a shepherd. You never really retire. I'm going to be both. When I get my new job as being Elohim, does not take away from the fact that I'm still your shepherd. In this pasuk, was summarizing everything in this parak. The atain, don't forget, Klal Yisrael, you will be my sheep because I'm still the shepherd. It's Soin Mar Isi, the sheep of my pasturing, of my shepherding. Adam Atem, and also, you're not just a sheep. Adam Atem, you're also going to be human beings. And the Mela, I'm going to keep my new job as well. Ani Elokeichem. Sheep don't have gods. Sheep have shepherds. Human beings don't have shepherds. Human beings have gods. So what is Klal Yisrael? Is Klal Yisrael the sheep or is Klal Yisrael the person? Both.
Well,
both. And that's the summary.
First one and the other.
So this is a beautiful summary of the entire parak. Atein tsayni, tsayn mar yisi, your sheep, mimela, I am going to be your shepherd. But you are also human beings. Adam atem. And a human being needs God. Ani Elokeichem. Nu'om Hashem Elokim. Okay, isn't that a beautiful way to end the parak? To summarize what's going to happen, everything comes together. Plus, he'll be Mitzvah's Pasuk Lamed Aleph. V'yatein tzoyni v'choyz v'farish tzoyn ma'risi. It's explanation. Hatzoyn shani roye oysam du'u. And then we go for Shadam Atem, return to Lamar. Einichem beinai kebehemo. See, not in my eyes like an animal. Ela chashuvim yachashuvim uchaderech ben adam. You're like a human being. V'ani miyached shmi aleichem li'ikore elokeichem. I'm going to designate my name upon you to be your God. I would not be your God if I only thought of you as animals. If a man is only nothing more than an animal, then Hashem does not expect that we should worship him. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds us to be human beings, that demands a higher respect. I told you all the same as you said many, many times, and it's so, so true. The older I get, the more I see how true it is. And that is, when I was in high school, our Rebbe, Rabbi Chaim Siegel, Zichus Levracha, he had this approach to chinuch. For high school boys, and he said a high school boy is in between a baby and an adult. When you're at that age, when you're in ninth grade, you're 14, 15, 16, maybe you're 14, that age, you're still a baby. You're still, you know, you're coming out of elementary school, you know, these kids, they run around with these big hats and they're sneak. My mother used to make fun, the high school kids. They wear these sneakers and the black hats. What are you? Are you a Ben Tyra? If you're a Ben Tyra, so what are you wearing these white sneakers? And if you're a baseball player, you know, you're a little teenager, you're running around. So what's with this? Why you always see the kids running to davening in the yeshivas with black hats with the brim up? Okay, they've got to put the brim down, wearing their jackets and the polo shirts and the sneakers. So no polo shirts also. So this is a mamish, a stira mine obey. If you're a Ben Tyra, you have a jacket, you have a hat, good. If you're a sports player, so then you have sneakers and a polo shirt, but the two together really don't make any sense.
Adversity
doesn't make any sense. But go look, pukhazi ma'amadvar. Go out into the street, go in front of any high school. I guarantee this is what you're going to see. Any high school, you're going to see this. That's the tzura of a high school, of a ninth grader, a tenth grader. So what is he? So the Rebbe say, there's really both. He's a baby. Coming out of elementary school, little baby, but you know he's already beginning to mature. How do you treat such a person? So I saw firsthand in certain places where the Rebbeim treat them like babies. In high school, especially 9th and 10th grade, you're a baby. We're going to reward you with prizes, with ice cream, with trips. And you talk to them like babies, and you treat them like babies. When you treat someone this age like a baby, he's a baby. He behaves like a baby. But being that he's already wearing that black hat with the brim up and wearing that jacket, the oversized jacket on top of the polo shirt, he's also a shtickle adult. If you talk to him with respect and derech eretz, as if you're talking to a person 40, 50 years old, he will respond as an adult because already he has that sophistication. So his policy was, you treat a ninth grader, it's a very unique policy, you don't see this anymore. You have to be a certain dignified person for this to work. Okay, average person, you talk to a ninth grader, you make believe you're talking to a 60-year-old, you talk to a ninth grader, you're going to see some very incredible results because you have faith in him. It causes him to mature very quickly and to develop. And you have to understand also, that's the age, because once you reach a certain age, you know, cement, once the cement dries, you're finished. There's nothing, it's too late to make a real impact
never
on the person.
Too late. Never too late.
Don't say never. Never say never. Okay, whatever that means.
There's still hope.
There's still hope, okay? There's still hope. Hope is, you know, hope dwindles sometimes. But in any event, In any event, it's a very fascinating, and I saw firsthand, and I didn't appreciate it at the time, and when I went to other place institutions where I hung out at, and I saw how they talk about, they treat the 9th and 10th years like babies, and that just makes them even more wild, and more crazy, and more insubordinate, I appreciate, wow, what an amazing concept, to treat someone of that age like an adult. It really done the right way, of course. Okay, you know, don't go overdo it. You have to be the right type of a person for it to work. It's amazing. It's an amazing concept. And it's exactly what Hashem does. Hashem says, you're a bunch of babies. You're sheep. You're sheep. That's all you are. I'm your shepherd. You fight. They're aggressive sheep. There are weak sheep, vulnerable sheep. I'm going to come and I'm going to take my bat. I'm like, no, you punish the little children. I'm going to punish you. Go to the principal's office. Do this, do that. Stand outside. Put on your head a hat, whatever. All these funny things that you do to children to humiliate them. But Hashem says, Odom Atem. I'm going to treat you like an adult. I'm going to treat you like a dignified adult. I'm going to have faith in you. And when I treat you like an adult, then Ani Elokeichem, that's going to cause you to mature very quickly. And you're going to look at me not like a shepherd. I'm going to be in your eyes a God. That's a very powerful idea. Hashem, you're babies, but yet I'm going to look at you as an adult. No, Hashem will look at him. Okay, let's concede the finish up over here in the mitzvahs again one more time. One more time, but tain so ni lechoyt mefarshan marisiat son shani roya the mitzudos pasuk lamed aleph son marisiat son shani roya some the ush adam atem return lema inchem kein we did ready we did ready finished Rashi pasuk lamed aleph adam atem inchem kein beimus beinay you know like animals in my eyes radak pasuk lamed the lamed aleph the atain so ni son marisiat adam atem kishetiyu son marisiat sheere eschem deo bin vahaskel I will shepherd you with deo bin vahaskel. Oz tikru adam loit soin ubehema ki kishayispateha adam litavas olam hine hu behema lo adam. When a person is influenced, led astray to follow the enticements of this world, he turns into an animal. Ki begashmius yishtatef adam ima behema. When it comes to gashmius, he's like an animal. Hu vechamoro echlin beibosecha. He and this animal eat from the same trough. Avo kishagir hatoiv asher yodanu hakel yisparach molaris deyas Hashem. Oh, beautiful pasuk here. But when it comes that time, Hakadosh Baruch Hu sends down to this world deya umolaris deyas Hashem ushar hun yodim hatoiv mihayudim. All the things are designated levels Hashem to love Hashem ulavdo b'leiv shalem v'nisasek b'muskalois, and you busy yourself with wisdom. Oz nikrei adam sheyia nikar banu chelik ha'enoishi. Then you'll be called another humanity. Then it will be revealed the humanity. V'niya nivdolim min abhem. You'll be separate from the animals. Or v'bnei adam hadam lohem la. V'yonis interagim v'yatun ami am di yiskerei shemi. You are my nation. He types adam. You are my nation. Ashmi aleim beis yisrael atun. Famous Chazal, even this Gemara over here. Adam Atem, the only one that deserves the title of humanity, of man, is Klal Yisrael. The other nations of the world are not even roy for the title Adam. They're animals. Even when it comes to bathrooms, I think that says it all in this generation. Adam, if you're an Adam, there's a separate restroom for a man and a woman. If you're an animal, animals don't have separate restrooms. Animals, it's all the same. It doesn't make a difference, it's nothing. You come to a point in the time in this world where it's illegal to have a separate bed. It's discrimination. Only a man can go into this room, not a woman. There's something really wrong with society. That's really, really, really wrong with society. It lacks humanity. Adam Atem. No, they just released the new warship called the beginning of the biggest warship, the newest warship with the most advanced technology the world has ever seen. So I read the article describing the incredible capabilities of this feat of technology that the world has invented. There's no more sophisticated piece of machinery in the world like this thing called the Gerald Ford warship. And one of the greatest highlights of this new piece of technology is all of the bathrooms on the Gerald Ford are non-gender specific. This is a highlight. This is the mila of the sophistication of the dark.
Saves half the bathrooms.
What?
Saves half the bathrooms.
Whatever it does, whatever. But there's something wrong here. All of the other warships in the history of the world, and every there's a base hakisei for a zohar and for a nekeva.
It's just like in the Alta Haim. They had an
houses were...
No, it's not the Yalta Hinkle. Okay?
That was the previous administration, which was doing social experimentation with the military.
Odom Atem, Klal Yisrael is called a human being. The Umar Sa'ilam, with all the technology, they're not humans. They're lacking the basic humanity with the incredible technology. What happened to the humanity? The simplest thing you need in this world is to go to a Beis Akisei. And on this ship, you have the most advanced technology the world has to offer is on this ship. Mikotze elakotze. The basic human needs versus the accomplishment of man. And they blew it. Man is a brilliant person, what he can accomplish. But yet, the most simple thing of humanity, dignity, of Kvod HaAdam, doesn't exist. That doesn't exist.
You don't go to the bathroom comes to you.
Carry it around with you.
All right, we're up to new parak, we'll stop here. Tomorrow, parak, Lamed Hei.